Thanks, study brother. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome, brothers. You're welcome. So what say you? Am I spot on? Did I miss anything glaring? Any questions? Any additions? What do you think about Philippians 3, 18 through 21?
I think having a God be your belly, it kind of reminds me of, I know the scriptures like to use the word beasts a lot.
Yeah.
And the wicked are like beasts. So it's, I always picture like cattle or like a cow, like just in a field kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And all he does is just chew on grass, eat grass, go find more grass, lay down, go find something to eat. So yeah. It's kind of like you can draw the parallels there. I don't know.
Yeah. Peter said brute beasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then how about our arch enemy? The roaring lion. What do lions do? Lions just lay around. You ready? Lions lay around and sleep all the time. I read an article one time. They sleep like 16 hours a day, and the rest of the time they hunt and kill things and eat it. That's pretty much what their life is. They sleep and they kill and eat. That's like a brute beast, isn't it? And that's kind of what our enemy, Satan, is like. Amen?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
1 Peter 5:9 or 5:8.
Amen. Something that jumped out at me is actually a couple of things. One of them, he says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often. And it's just interesting. I wonder if there's a connection here. It's the exact same word, many, that is used in Matthew 7 when the Lord said, broad is the road to destruction, and many go thereat.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a connection there, like, I think it probably is, because afterwards he tells us about the enemies of the cross of Christ, and he says they're those who set their mind on earthly things.
Yeah.
And it's such a stark contrast that I guess this approach is probably a whole nother topic of people don't think. Ever, you tell people sin is bad, and they're like, yeah, of course, you need to repent of sin. But then they don't think that what they're doing is so sinful or so wicked, right? They don't think like, oh, what I'm doing is wicked. I'm wicked because I'm doing that. They don't understand that, like, the script, the Psalms say that the wicked is somebody who doesn't keep God in all his thoughts, right?
Yeah.
The same way, setting your mind, according to this passage here, unless I'm taking it completely out of context, somebody who sets their mind on earthly things is an enemy of the cross of Christ.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and like, oh, well, I'm not an enemy of Christ. According to scripture, actually you are. Because you're setting your mind, I mean, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections thereof. And also says that if we be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above where Christ is.
Amen.
If you mind earthly things, you're actually an enemy of the cross of Christ, and you're part of those many who walk the broad road to destruction. Just kind of all the connections in scripture just kind of jumped out at me.
Yeah, and you only get those when you study them, you know, when you study and you look for them and you seek the truth, and the Lord ties them together in the Spirit. And you're right, because the context is exactly the same thing. It may be people that claim Christ. Hey, we did miracles, we did all kinds of things. And then Paul's talking about a whole cadre of people here that it could be people that claim Christ. Because you're an enemy of the stake of Christ doesn't mean you're not claiming to be follow him. Think about that. How many people that we do that we know of, that we do ministry, claim to be Christians, but they're our enemies in the streets? Are they not our worst enemies, brothers?
Yeah, the claimed Christians are the ones who most vehemently oppose us preaching the gospel.
We just preached at an event, and there was tens of thousands of people there. We did get to preach to a lot of young seekers, but all of the mainline churchgoers were wicked to us, or ignored us, or mocked and laughed. Do you know who received us the best? There was homeless guys. walking through the, because the sidewalk went right through the event, and the homeless men stopped and listened to us, and they weren't looking for money. They stay at a mission right down the street. They got plenty of food. They got shelter. They're homeless for whatever reason, and they were just walking through, and I said, hey, can I share the gospel with you? They're like, yeah, what? And I shared three or four of them I witnessed to, and they listened intently, and they said, we think you're right. They're like, the churches are wicked. And these are homeless guys. And I didn't even really find out. They didn't share a lot. One of the men said, I think he thought he was a Christian, or he said, I believe in Christ. But the other ones were just like worldly homeless guys. And they're like agreeing how wicked the church systems are. And they received us better than the church people. So yeah, just because you're a enemy doesn't mean you're not a believer or a follower of that. That's a good point, Brother Zelos. Good tie in with Matthew 7. Brother Pergos, what say you? Did I enlighten you at all about Philippians 3, or I'm sure you have something to add, knowing your biblical mind.
Brother Zelos picked up on the many, and in verse 19, the earthly things, it seems like the exact opposite of a requirement for thoughts in Philippians 4:8, which, if the Lord wills, I hope to listen to that one someday soon. And I was also thinking about how people take pleasure in their unrighteousness, in their earthly things.
Yeah.
Also, when I was just doing a quick look for the gospel, in verse 20, it says, we eagerly await, which I took as endurance, and a Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, faith in Christ. The gospel is laced in basically all of the epistles.
Yeah. Amen.
If you know the Lord properly.
Amen. Ready? You know what you need? You know what you need to see it?
Faith, the Spirit.
Yeah. You need eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen.
Amen.
Remember that when you're witnessing, brothers and sisters that are listening. If someone doesn't have eyes to see and ears to hear, you can only go so far. Maybe give them a gospel card in their hand, tell them a few basic facts, and then leave them go. Have you ever tried to feed a homeless guy that's not hungry? Come on, eat the sandwich. You got to. You got to eat the sandwich. How about this? How about this banana? You got to have this banana right now. Hey, this bag of chips. Would you like this bag of chips? No, I'm fine. Really, you need the bag of chips. Want it right now? No, I'm fine. I don't want it. It's the same way with spiritual truth. If they don't want it, and they're not seeking it, and they're not hungry for it, can you really... really feed them?
No. Nope.
No. But you can, as you love them, give them the gospel, warn them, and tell them you need to repent, you need to seek God, and he might open your eyes and give you repentance, and then let them go, because you waste too much time on a person that doesn't want it, the sheep might walk right by you that might be hungry and want it, so...
Also, your ending, you were talking about how you're encouraging to read Scripture and look at all the promises and hopes, and that made me think of Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Yeah.
So even Christ looked forward to that joy.
Amen. Amen. And I like what you just said, too. You talked about how the gospel's laced through, and you talked about patiently waiting or patiently endured. That's like waiting upon the Lord. And it's like the more I preach the gospel and the more I live for it, the more it's easily, maybe, I don't know if God reveals it to you more or... But ever since we have been since year one, we've always been very gospel-centered. We're thankful for that. We see it all over Scripture. And the people that don't see it, they're not looking for it. Their God might be their bellies or their God ready. How about their God might be their Sunday church system? Is that possible, brothers?
Their fellowship idolatry, their favor of man,
yeah.
Their easy belief, false gospel fable, itchy ear teacher.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, so there's a lot of different gods with little g that people can have. Hobbies, careers, their church system, their pride and vanity, their favorite sports team, whatever. And that distracts people from seeing all these beautiful archetypes and seeing the gospel weed. And I don't know how anybody can read the scriptures and not see faith and works, not see endurance, not see everything we must do, not see what God's called, where God's called us to action. You are either absolutely blind or you are willfully ignorant, like Brother Pergo said the other day, willfully ignorant of the truth of God. Agree with that statement, brothers?
Yep. Amen.
Anything else about Philippians 3?
Yeah, that the last verse. I think there's a lot of meat that could be unpacked out of that verse. I mean, I don't think we can do it true justice, because I think, well, I'm not sure. Did you read 1 John 3?
1 John 3, no.
Okay, well, I think this kind of ties right into that verse of the hope and the endurance and the faith and works and the whole sanctification process. That one verse has a ton of meat in there, but my mind jumped to 1 John 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I think that just ties right in there, basically. It's an awesome verse, thinking also about, like Paul says in Romans, that who shall save me from this wretched body of sin? It's kind of like, it says, who shall change our vile body?
Yeah.
A lot of people talk, well, the flesh, what's so bad? And they kind of still like their flesh, and they think you can kind of have your flesh in your vile body and still have the Lord Jesus. Kind of ties into our previous conversation about crucifying the flesh here.
Yeah.
But the Lord Jesus is going to come, and if we endure with him and we overcome with him, then he will change our vile body like unto his glorious body. And it's just, it's an awesome promise in there about he is going to subdue the sin that we fight. I mean, we have the hope of what he's going to do, so we start this process through the Spirit convicting us and us repenting and purifying and fleeing sin so that we can be accepted before him. And if he accepts us, then he will subdue the rest and give us a new body free from sin. And it's that hope. It's that hope and that promise that the saints of God know. And people who don't hate sin, who haven't been born from above, who don't have a problem living in it, they'll never understand this hope. It's only the born-again saints who hate sin and who flee it and who want to overcome it that can even understand and grasp the hope and the joy and the amazing promise that this verse gives us.
Yeah, good one, brother. Can I share what the word vile means? I think this is really helpful. So our vile body. So when you hear that word vile, I think that might stumble people. And they go, well, wait a minute. God created this body, gave it to us. And Paul says, don't destroy the temple. So how can our bodies be vile? This is another case of looking at the Greek and the Hebrew. You look at the Greek word vile, you know what it means? Depression, humiliation, to be made low, lowliness, a low state, spiritually abased, guilt. Hey, why do we feel that way in our flesh, brothers?
Huh. Is it Romans 6?
Yeah, because of sin. And I want to tie it in here. Isn't that why we dress our temples in a certain way, to not lift ourselves up, but to match the condition? Lowly, sin coverings, a depressed attitude. We're just walking this thing through this life. We're not dressing this thing up. We're not showing it off in pride and vanity. We're obeying God by saying, you know what? I have to wear a sin covering because I got to drag this tent around with me. And one day, these old tunics or this dress the women wear or the tunics the men wear, I'm going to get a robe of righteousness. That's going to be awesome. But do you see the tie in there? When you think about vile body means depressed, lowy, lowly, low esteem. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw in a quick verse there as well. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way in the froward mouth do I hate.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. God hates those type of things. People don't. We talked about that, about not fearing God. God hates sin and evil. People should fear as they willfully live in it, and they don't. That was one of our topics we talked about. Anything on that, Brother Purgos?
Did you read 2 Corinthians 5:4?
I did not.
For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Reminds me of part of where it talks about where, what does he talk about? In one of the verses, the corruptible will be swallowed up by the incorruptible. He talks about that. I think he's talking about that's when we are changed, are transformed, right?
Yeah, is that 1 Corinthians 15?
Yeah. I threw in there about pre-trib rapture. That's a big one. That's a big one, brothers. Be ready to defend or warn people about that, because as we get closer to the last days, there's a lot of false churchianity people that have that as a false hope. Oh, we don't have to worry. Jesus is going to take us out of here right before it all happens. And be brushed up on that. And know how to refute that if someone's a listener and a seeker, so you can help them. Because many people are going to be taken unaware by that damnable doctrine. 1 Corinthians 15, Matthew 24, I've got articles on it. Many verses say he's coming at the end of the tribulation. They've invented a secret rapture that does not exist in God's word.
Yeah. Another thought, I guess, to kind of mull over and toss in here. I think this will help clarify a lot of things for the saints, because people tend to try and they're confusion. God is not confusing, but men are, especially darkness. Our conversation is in heaven. Doesn't that simplify so many things if we think about it? I mean, you're dealing with people, and you can go into the theological and doctrinal aspects of everything, but the saints who have a changed heart and who understand the truth of God, and whose conversation is in heaven, you don't really have to sit and argue with and kind of chew it into their heads that, you know, sports is not in heaven, politics is not in heaven, pets are not in heaven, idolatry is not in heaven, worldly carnal entertainment is not in heaven, TV and movies is not in heaven, feminization is not in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. Why would you hold on to these things?
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Maybe because you have the wrong God in your belly, or the wrong God, period.
Yeah, I know that thought just kind of simplifies so many things. Like, you deal with somebody who's all about, why can't I play football or hockey? And like, are you going to do that in heaven?
Yeah.
No, your conversation's supposed to be in heaven.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, and what do you see? You saw it the other night in that man we talked to. What do you see? People that claim to be of Christ, when you talk about perfect unity, all speaking the same things, they laugh and they go, oh, that can't be. They slander God's word. Oh, you can't know all truth. John 16 says we can know all truth by the Spirit. That's the type of people you're talking about, that they're outside of the Spirit, the word, the truth of God. They're aliens to the kingdom of God. We're aliens to the world. Amen, brothers?
Yeah.
Amen. Anything else before we close out the discussion on Philippians 3, 18 through 21?
Those were all the thoughts I had.
I've got nothing more.
Those were all my thoughts.
Awesome. Thanks, brothers. We'll post that, and that will edify people that listen. Appreciate your time. God's glorified in all of this. Amen.
Amen.